That was an endearing video. And here's the problem. 25% of children today are growing up with a single parent. Half of us, our parents are divorced. So that's not many people that have that. Less than half a mile from here, matter of fact, I Googled it this morning, 2,112 feet that way, 109 years ago, when this exact room existed, it was constructed. On Sunday, the first Father's Day service was held. Maybe back then, 80, 90% of people had a good dad. Went to work, paid the bills, was kind of loving to the kids, maybe yelled a bunch, who knows. But now that's not the case. So Jesus comes into the world, and it's so applicable today. Today we're talking about a message that was originally given on April the 2nd of this year called Jesus the Father. And we're going to recap some of those same concepts from that day because they need to go into our hearts. But actually, there's a little bit more to that message. It got expanded on while I was preparing for this Sunday. So, Father, we just invite you in right now. We ask for your love. Pour into this building right now. We ask for your peace. Hallelujah. Today's message is called Jesus the Father and Your Part in It All. Wait a minute, you've got a part now too? Yeah. So ladies, I'm sorry, you don't get to be off the hook today. Wait, it was Father's Day, I was just going to listen about, I don't know, how good dads are, maybe how good God is. You're saying I've got a part to play? Yep. Men who are not fathers, you're not off the hook either. Because God has given us an assignment that's more than just being. And so we need to figure out, first of all, who our Father is, and then we need to figure out why we can't be like Him, why it's so hard for us to be loving and gracious and kind and giving and honorable. So let's start with the Word of God. In John chapter 14, Jesus is with His disciples, and He's hanging out with His favorite guys. And you know what? Jesus was probably in sandals, and when He got to the house He was at, He probably took them off. So I'm going to take off my shoes right now because it's hot. So Jesus is with His guys. He's about to die. He's about to leave them. He's not going to be in their physical presence much longer. And He's trying to think of all the most important things to do, right? If you're leaving for a big trip, you know, you say, okay, you know, honey, if the water heater breaks, here's how you relight it. Don't forget to get, you know, send that check to the water department. If if you have an emergency, here's the blah, 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 you know, call them. I mean, you kind of think, okay, what should I say before I leave town? And Jesus is about to leave town. He's peacing out, man. They don't know it yet. He's got a huge cross to bear, literally. And then He's going to die. And He's thinking, okay, then He knows He's about the ascension. And He's thinking, okay, what do I tell these guys before I leave earth? And He's talking to them about how He's going to go ahead of them and prepare a place for them. And He's talking about the Father, Father God. And Philip says to Him, Lord, show us the Father that we could be satisfied. Okay? Jesus says, if you'd really known Me, you would know who My Father is. And from now on, you do know Him and you have seen Him. So in their mentality, Father God is up in the sky. Here's His son, Jesus, and, you know, we still think of Father God like coming into Egypt and just crushing everybody and, you know, throwing Pharaoh out and freeing the slaves and, you know, locusts and blood in the river. And, you know, God sounds kind of angry. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you had an angry dad? And actually having no dad at all makes you angry. So I bet 80% of us could either raise your hand that your dad's angry or that you're angry about your dad. Maybe that's 100% of us. And the problem with 1908, when the first Father's Day service was 2,112 feet that way, the problem back then is I think we were appropriately honoring people for something, but I think there's more in our hearts than just a man going to work. Now, that was what they were being. These men were going underground, and hear me, please. I have great respect for a man or woman who digs coal out of the middle of the earth. It's a dangerous job. It's backbreaking. I'm a wimp. I sit at a desk, okay? So I got big respect for men and women underground digging up coal. But what I'm saying is that no matter what you do to make an income, whether you're an entertainer, an actor, whether you're sitting at a desk like me, whether you're physical labor, just working and providing for your family isn't enough. Because you have more than a physical stomach. I mean, you can water your plants, right? Feed the lawn and water the plants and be considered a good caretaker of the lawn. But your kids, trust me, I've tried, want more than to just be fed. They want attention. They want me to play with them when I'm tired. They want me to give them gifts. They want me to listen to them. They want a whole lot more than just dinner and my paycheck. And so what Philip's touching on here says, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. There's something inside of you, point number one, we're all looking for and made for and crave satisfaction. And I'm going to get excited today so that the warmth of this building doesn't lull you to sleep. Thank you, Jesus. We're all looking for, and here's the best part, you were made for and you crave satisfaction. That's okay. The reason you crave flour and sugar, the reason you get drunk, the reason you have sex with random people, the reason you can't wait for your next vacation, the reason you can't wait to get in your bed tonight and sleep, the reason you want to sit in the shade when it's hot is because you were made for satisfaction. And there's only one thing that can actually satisfy. Philip has that part correct. Show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. The Hebrew word, or Greek word, sorry, the Greek word for satisfied there, Philip uses, is the word archaeo. Archaeo means to be possessed of unfailing strength, to be strong, to suffice, to be enough. You know, I just want to be enough. As a man, we just want to be enough. You want to know you have what it takes. As a woman, you want to be seen. You want to know that your beauty means something, that you're lovely, that you can change the world with who you are. Unfailing strength means to be able to handle evil manfully with no reason to ask for its removal. Oh my gosh, I'm not there yet, guys. I'm like, Lord Jesus, provide the church with an air conditioner. Lord Jesus, I need more PTO from work. Lord Jesus, why are these kids still awake right now? Oh my goodness. I am not possessing an unfailing strength yet, which allows me to handle evil manfully with no reason to ask for its removal. Gosh, what a rich word. That's the satisfaction you were made for. It's okay to crave that. All sin is just fulfilling a legitimate need in an illegitimate way, right? So all the dumb things you've done in your life, God is so not interested in how you tried to fulfill the order. He is so keen and locked his eyes with yours about that need in your heart. He wants to fill it. And he's excited that you're coming to him and learning to come to him. Oh, it's a lifelong battle. And he's excited to fulfill that satisfaction inside of you, to make you possessing of unfailing strength that you do not worry about what comes your way. You know who backs you. You know whose you are. You know how loved you are, and you can walk through it. Jesus, give us that. So Philip was right. He's like, show us the Father. But Jesus is saying, look, dude, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they're like, little heads blew up. They were eating dinner and they all just died. No, I'm just kidding. So what's crazy to me is it's possible to walk with Jesus and not have this knowledge of who the Father is. Some of you have been Christians your whole life and you actually might need to hear this message for the first time today. Point 2A, it is possible to walk with Jesus and not have this. Oh, this is a bad point, my friends. Oh, this is dangerous. You can come in here every week. You can play church. You can sing the songs. You can throw some money in the plate. Get some hugs. Give some hugs. Maybe even have an experience with God. But you could actually be coming here or anywhere else following Jesus and not understand who he is. He is the Father incarnate. That's scary to me. It gives me a holy fear. Lord, I want to know who you really are. The word for know here, to be, Jesus' word for known implies deep intimacy. So it's not that you show up and hang out with Jesus once a week from 10 to about 11:30 on Sundays. The word for know here in the Greek, point 2b, implies deep intimacy. you hear jokes about this today, and it was that the case in the society in the first century, and in the Bible. It says Adam knew his wife. Okay, they're talking about sexual intimacy. There's nothing more vulnerable in this world, nothing more close or connected, right? So to know someone in a biblical sense, when you say that, means to have sex with them. So the Greek word for if you had known me, obviously Jesus isn't saying if you'd had sex with me, Philip. No. So he's implying this incredible intimacy. Doesn't matter if it's man to man to woman, unmarried woman to unmarried man. Doesn't have to be sexual at all. He's saying if you had this deep intimacy with me, you would have known the Father. So Philip had walked with him for 3 years and not had deep intimacy with him. God, forgive me. Please, this week I ask for deep intimacy with you. I ask you, Jesus, show me who you are. Those are the prayers of a hungry heart. I'm saying that sincerely in front of you, not to mimic what you should do this week. I'm telling you that's who I am. The word for know is ginisko. It was a Jewish idiom for intimacy between a man and his wife. So the solve for all problems in our life, is greater intimacy with Jesus. So, okay, we're learning that. I was thinking about this before the service. Today, I hope to do 3 things. I hope to insult your father. I hope to desecrate your image of God, and then I hope to make you the happiest person to ever live. Whoa, I don't know about this guy. So first of all, I don't care if you're the best dad in the world. He did not fulfill every need of your heart. If you were so lucky to have a man married to your mom who not only paid for the food on the table, but also came home and cherished you and put you in his arms and also listened to you and also poured into your dreams, you are still lacking. He messed up at some point. He ignored, he forgot something. He ignored you. He was busy. Maybe he was working a second job because he loved you so much. I had a friend tell me, oh, but my dad was so great. And I was thinking to myself, well, but you told me he was always working. Well, I know, but he was busy, but he always made time for me. I'm like, you were made for more than 10 minutes at the end of the day. I'm glad he made time for you in his busy schedule. I'm glad he worked a second and third job. I am. He's an honorable man, but he's not God. You were made for perfect communion with the Father, unbroken at all times. I feel every day that kind of craving. And nothing I put my hands on or in my mouth or in my brain or through my stupid eyes ever seems to fulfill my need for that kind of satisfaction. And there's only one place I can go. No one else can fulfill it. No man. I think I'm a good dad. But I tell you, I have failed. I failed. My beautiful children in that room up there deserve more than Nick Haywood. They deserve God incarnate. They deserve Jesus the Christ, who every time saw someone victimized, lifted them up. Every time saw a woman cast aside, brought her into the picture. Saw someone sick, said, stretch out your hand, be healed. Poured love on everyone. Rebuked the rich. Rebuked the religious. Oh, that's who we were made for, guys. We want to talk about the Father. That's not just Jesus. I have so many friends who say, I like Jesus. I don't know about God. Ooh, not a big fan of God. It's the same guy. It's the same guy. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's great news. That's such great news. Matter of fact, I bet the whole time that he was striking Pharaoh and making them walk in circles in the desert, I bet Father God was saying, gosh, if I could just get down there, if I could just get my hands on them, they could see what I'm really like. Behind the veil of heaven to earth. So he came. Praise you, God. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Jesus. What can you do to grow your intimacy with Jesus this week? Jesus has shown us the Father, point 3A. Jesus has shown us the Father, and the Father is good. The Father is the nourisher, the protector, and upholder. And I'm explaining those 3 words and why I'm confident about them. I didn't, you know, make them up as, oh, if I had a good dad, he'd be like this. I have a great dad, but he ain't God. He failed me. So it turns out that everything in your life that's good is actually from the Father, the Word of God says. Huh, okay. Now, this story will not make sense unless you understand that you have an enemy of your soul who hates your guts, wants to take you down, and actually doesn't even care about you. The only reason the enemy of your soul, hell, Satan, the devil, the only reason he wants to take you out is to spite God, a big middle finger to the sky. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. That's the spirit of it. It has nothing, he didn't care about you. You're a pawn. You're not important to the devil. Rock and roll stars, sex, drugs, rock and roll, they're not important to the devil. They're just pawns. 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, you to spite the Father. Oh, it makes it even colder. I love how good God is. And you won't be able to look at your life and interpret what's been happening if you don't understand our mistakes and take responsibility for them, which, by the way, are all based on your need for perfect communion with God. So let go of all that. Forgive yourself. Just remember what you're really made for and come back to Jesus. Come back to the Father. It's okay that you made all these mistakes. But all the crap that happened to you is because of your dumb moves and the enemy who hates your guts. Every morning I wake up and this little thing tells me, man charged with doing this to little child. So-and-so, six dead. Another bridge, another terrorist. Such and such war won't end. Guys, if you think that God is oblivious to all this, his hands are tied, you're wrong. You're wrong. He cares so deeply. And here's the problem. He wants your help. He wants your help. Where is Jesus? We tell little children, invite Jesus into your heart. Well, what you're really doing is you're inviting the Holy Spirit into your heart, because it says Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. My best friend, my future groom, in heaven there is no sex. There's no male or female. We are all the bridegroom. Christ is the we are all the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. He's the one I get to spend eternity as. I'm his. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Guys can say that. Girls can say that. Doesn't matter. There will be no marriage or giving in marriage in heaven. We all belong to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. So it says he's at the right hand of the Father. So what are we going to do? Who's going to be the Father on earth now that Jesus is gone? The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians, you, my friends, are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are to act out his life. What did he do? He helped the marginalized. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He rebuked the rich and the religious. And he had a very real, life-giving, passionate relationship manifest with God at all times. Let's do it. Let's do it. That's our call. That's who we're supposed to be. Ladies, it's okay. You're not a father. Not in English, American terms. The problem is, how do we do all that when 3B, point 3B, is that most of us, instead of, you know, the nourisher, the protector, the upholder, most of us have been given abandonment, abdication, and abuse, right? Dad was a drunk. I don't know who my dad is. Dad tried his best. Or he provided for us. He did his best. He provided, you know, he put food on the table. That's cool. I'm glad he put food on the table. It's better than not putting food on the table. It is. There's something honorable about that. But it didn't fill your heart. It didn't solve all your problems. We need the nourisher, the protector, the upholder. And we have men like myself who've yelled at their kids. We have men like myself who've been too busy at work, too tired to play at the end of the day, or just not there altogether. So let's dive deep into this word, Father. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the word pater in Greek, which means, the Greek word itself means nourisher. Let's go back to 3A. Nourisher, protector, upholder. That's what we need. We were born to have someone nourish us, protect us, and uphold us. The nourisher who sustains and gives what is necessary for life. This is on the back of your notes. There's little stars. It says, Jesus comes to heal those wounds and show us the good Father we are in desperate need of. And there's three stars, and it says, the nourisher who sustains, who gives what is necessary for life, who cherishes, who fosters, who strengthens and nurses us. The word nurse was in there. I thought, wow, I don't think of that when I think of a man or a father nursing us. That sounds very feminine to me, right? So it says in the beginning of the Bible that God made man in his image, male and female, he made them in his image. So inside of Father God, which we think of as a male word, God is not male, God is not female. Both of those things we know are inside Father God. They're inside God. So cool. There's no mother in the Trinity. God has all of that inside of him. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. So he's a nourisher. He nourishes us. That's what we need. oh, my dad gave me some tough love, but sometimes I needed him to nourish me. My dad made me a very successful, driven man, but sometimes I needed a hug, and I needed him to listen to me. You know, when my wife tends to be a little bit more disciplinarian with the kids, it goes a long way, because she's not always like that. And when I tend to be a little bit more gracious with them, it goes a long way, because I'm not usually like that. We need that. We need each side of that. The protector who guards and defends and guides and provides and fights for us and shields us. Oh my goodness, where have you been? When I went into that interview, or when I got fired, or when I got that girl pregnant, or my dad hit me again and again and again, where were you? It's okay to be mad. It's okay to say, God, I need you in that place. We're asking him today to come heal that inside of you, because you can never be a nourisher, protector, and upholder to anyone else when you are disabled inside. And we fake it, and we go to work, and we smile, and we put on our best face. And there's things completely broken on the spiritual, on the emotional, on the invisible inside of us. And today we're saying, Father, nourisher, protector, upholder, heal me. Heal me where I needed you. Where were you? He'll tell you. He'll speak to your heart. He'll heal your memories. He'll pour out his love on you. He'll deliver you. Ask him. Put a demand on God for this. If this is all fake, get out of here. Let's all stay home in air conditioning next week. I want to serve the real and living God who is still here today. It says in Hebrews, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still here. The Spirit of God is here right now. Hallelujah. The upholder who supports us, who opposes our critics. How many of you have ever been spoken against? You ever have a friend speak against you? That hurts the worst. Or your own parents speak against you. They don't believe in you. Oh, that's really, thanks, guys. Thanks. Your boss. I had my boss speak against me in front of 21 of my peers the other day. I was like, wow, thanks. Everything inside of me wanted to defend myself. I was on mute on the conference call. I wanted to say something mean about her in front of my friends. I just shut up. Everyone was like, why'd she say that? I said, I have no idea. Weird stuff happens, man. People are against you. There's things that oppose you in life, including yourself sometimes. God opposes our critics. He keeps us from sinking. He lifts us up. He promotes us and believes in us, and he advocates us. He champions for us. He campaigns for us and backs us. You know, it's really powerful when someone says to you every day, I believe you can do this. I believe you can do this today, man. Glenn, when you go to work tomorrow, I believe you can do it, man. You're so incredible. You can do this. And you kind of wake up going, all right, cool. I can do this. It'll be a good week. But when you wake up with your own critical self and your own brain and the devil against you and your achy back or your bad knee or your lack of coffee or whatever it is, Mondays don't feel so good. But you have someone who advocates for you, who loves you, who believes in you, who champions for you, who wants your very best. And if you're not feeling that way or feeling connected to that voice, ask him. Father, I need to know you as the upholder. I need to know you as the one who supports me and opposes my critics, who crushes their mouths. Says silence in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So today, I want you to do two things for me before we talk about the final point. First of all, I really want you to key in. It's okay that you love all these words, but just key into some part of your heart and say, Father, I really need the nourisher right now in this season of my life, or I really need the protector in this season of my life right now, or I need the upholder. Show yourself to me as, fill in the blank, this week. Show yourself to me as the upholder. I haven't been feeling that. It's okay to admit that. I haven't been feeling you protecting me. I need you. Be my protector this week on the streets, God, as I walk these streets, as I look for a job, as I try to get my life together. Be my nourisher. Whatever it is you need, key in on that, what you need from him. We're going to have people up here in a moment who are going to be praying for us to receive these things. We need healing. We have imperfect fathers. The best dad in here stunk. What do you mean he stunk? Because this was the bar, not here. Not provide your paycheck dad. Oh, I put food on your table. Everybody worship me. No! I know of a man who controls and abuses his family because he says, well, I'm the one who puts food on the table. Shut up. Shut up in Jesus' name. That's a horrible attitude. You were made to serve these people till you were exhausted. You were made to die for them. Love them like Christ loved the church. And at that point, when you have nothing else inside of you and you feel like screaming at them all, just beg God for some mercy and for some empowerment from his grace. That's what you're made to do. Man up. Man up. You deserve more than that, guys. Thank you, God. So we need healing from these places that they were not to us. We know that God is no longer this angry guy that we thought he was from the Old Testament. We've desecrated that thing because Jesus came in super cool, super nice. I mean, I've just never met anyone who's angry at Jesus. I have Muslims like, oh yeah, Jesus are cool. I have no Jews who are like, oh, Jesus is cool. I don't think he was the Messiah, but he was really cool. I just don't know anyone who's like, oh, I hate that Jesus always healing people and making everybody so loved. I hate that guy who pushed away those angry people controlling everyone. Everybody loves Jesus, man. And guess what? He is the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. You've seen God himself. He showed up and said, here I am. Every other thing inside of you, but I think he's more like this, Nick. Break that religious lie in Jesus' name. If it doesn't look like it's something Jesus was in the world, then it's not God. It's not the Father. It's some religious Christian garbage. Cow manure. I'll be good in front of my mother-in-law. It's religious garbage cow manure. It ain't Jesus. If it ain't Jesus, it ain't God. Get it out of your life. Well, I think, but the Father's more like this. Get it out of your life. It's a religious lie. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Break its power over you. Repent of it. Break it. Get it out. Spit it out. Puke if you need to. Read in books about how that's not who God is. Jesus wasn't some angry, controlling religious man. Matter of fact, he spent more time outside with the people than he did in these cool places called churches or synagogues at the time. He went to where the people were. Go to the people this week. Go to be with the people. Go be on the corner together. I love this guy. This guy gave me an awesome hug on my way in. I love that guy. You're the best. He's my favorite guy here today. Sorry, Glenn. He's my favorite guy today. I love that guy. Go to the people. Right? You don't need to wear shoes. You don't need to wear a fancy suit. Jesus was in sandals. He went and hung out with the fishermen. So anyway, the final thing is when we get this life-giving power of who God really is, who the Father really is, and we connect, we get healing for where we're broken from abdication and abandonment and abuse, and we say, I need you, God, as the nourisher. I need you, God, as the protector. I need you, God, as the upholder. Once we get that, I have a reminder for you. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of men. You are the body of Christ. So my favorite thing was geometry, and I did really good in geometry. So point number four, now that you've seen the Father through Jesus, we're called to pursue our healing and go be the Father to this hurting world. Can't do one before the other, guys. Until you get healing on this, until you get loved up. If you ask me for $10 and I got $1, I can't give you something I don't have. I can't give you 10 bucks when I only have one. So many of you in this room are going to just start off today and this week saying, I need the nourisher, the upholder, and the protector. I need healing. I need you to fill me up. Some of you have some of that inside of you. You've been here a little longer. You've got some miracle power in your life. And when you've got any shred of that inside of you, go give it away, man. Go give it away today. Not this week. Go give it away today. You don't have tomorrow. You never have tomorrow. You always have today. Let go of yesterday. Let go of yesterday. You have today. I'm going to call Frank on Tuesday. You don't have Tuesday. It might not come for you. A train or a car or a drunk might come for you. A stray bullet could come for you. An earthquake or a fire or a heart attack could come for you. You have today. It's all you got. Father's Day is a horrible day for most people. Everyone loves their mother. Oh, Mother's Day. My mom's great. It's like more cards bought on Mother's Day than any other day of the entire year. Everyone's got a woman who cares about him somewhere. Maybe she's not even your mom, but she was just nice to you. But wow, do we have a father wound or what? We got a father wound. And go be the father to someone today. Go adopt somebody today. Call up an old friend. Some guy's thinking today, man, I got 3 kids by 3 different wives. I feel like such a horrible man today. And he's going to drink himself into the ground today. Some guy is sitting there with a gun to his head thinking, I don't know. I don't even know my father. He didn't even care enough in this world to know who I was. Go be the father. Go love on someone, male or female, little or old, young or old. Doesn't matter. James 1 tells us that our suffering is for the redemption and restoration of the world. You went through all this garbage and horrible crap so that God can heal it and then use you to change the world. Hallelujah! 1 Corinthians and Ephesians say that we are the body of Christ. I'll close with this. In sophomore year, 10th grade, I took this class that I was incredible at. I don't know why, but it was called geometry. And geometry just made perfect sense to my brain. And I didn't even try, and I got a 97% in the class. I mean, I get geometry. And one of the things about geometry that I loved, it's very simple. If angle A is the same as angle B, and if angle B is the same as angle C, then angle A equals angle C. So if the Father is Jesus and you are the body of Christ, then go be the Father. Go be the upholder this week, male or female, man or woman. Go be the nourisher this week. Go be the protector. Stand up for someone. Some little girl tried to commit suicide. Her sister's calling me for help. Some guy's bullying her into sexual garbage on Instagram. So guess what? I messaged him. And after I did so, I got afraid. Holy crap, what's he gonna do to me? And I thought, you know what, Nick, you can't think like that. Someone somewhere has to stand up for someone else. I sent him a message. I said, I am investigating you for child pornography. I've been hired by the family of so-and-so. They have one request. Leave their daughter alone and I'll never pursue this. You ever message her again and you will see the full wrath of their consequence against you according to the law. And then after I wrote all that, I thought, crap, what if he like finds out where I live or beats me up, right? I stood up for someone. I protected this poor little 14-year-old girl. So then I got afraid. So I prayed. I said, Dad, I need you to back me. Can you just like, this guy now knows my name. Can you just make this okay? Later in the day, I got a one-word response. Understood, period. Praise you, Jesus. We gotta stand up for someone. We gotta protect each other, uphold each other, nourish each other. Go be the Father this week. If the Father was in Jesus and Jesus is in you through his Holy Spirit, you're the body of Christ. Angle A equals angle C. Go be angle A. Go be the Father. Let's pray. God, I can't give what I don't have. I can't be the nourisher if I've never had it. I ask you to be my nourisher today. I ask you to come heal broken hearts today. I can't be the upholder if I've never had anyone stand up for me and promote me and advocate for me. So I ask you to advocate for hearts today, this week, in their new job, or in their new endeavor, or in their just surviving this life. Maybe they're in back pain. Maybe they're a drunk, and they just need you, God. Come be the upholder today. I need you as protector, Lord. Physically protect my life. Protect my emotions and my spirit from this horrific world and all of its grossness. Heal us, Father. Heal us. Come, show yourself to us as you did through Jesus. And then empower us through your grace, through your Holy Spirit, to be you in this hurting world, to go change this place with your love. Guys, changing the world isn't joining some missionary organization and going to Africa. Changing the world is right where you live. Wow. You got Amen. A family member, or a best friend, or a spouse. You got a kid somewhere. You got a coworker. You have an extra neighbor. Go be it right here. Change your world. Small is beautiful. Small is beautiful. Go change this tiny 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 people around you. Start with letting God change you. Thank you, Lord.
Incredible. I learned a lot about geometry today. That you and I can express the heart of the Father. Wow. That you can nourish somebody's soul with kindness, and that's an expression of the Father. That you can be a protector of people, and that is the heart of the Father. That you can uphold someone. And each of us need all those three things. And each of us can give all those three things. Incredible. Let that just be massaged into your heart today. And let's do stand together. Because there are points at which in your own soul, as Nick pointed out, brilliantly, that the Holy Spirit needs to nourish something inside of you. There are mental and emotional stuffs, constructs, things that impede and hold us back from being what the Lord desires us to be. And one prayer can cause that house of cards to come toppling down, and you can see clearly what the Lord has for you.